Thank you, Alan. First things first, most of you probably know, Karen and I had the opportunity to go to Africa in January of this year. We spent a little over 3 weeks over there. And one of the things that everybody over there requires of us is to give their greetings to their brothers and sisters. So you know the drill. Everybody has to do this because they all do that when they say, give their greetings to our brothers and sisters. Okay, thank you. The next thing, you probably notice, especially when I look down, that I have a little crease across the top of my head there. Well, I just thought I would let you know so I don't have to explain to everybody how that happened. I was out playing basketball, and I just jumped too high and hit my head on the rim. Watch out for lightning. Actually, that fits in with my sermon, because you and I both know that there's not going to be any lightning coming down here. God doesn't punish people. He doesn't look for opportunities to punish people when they commit a sin. This life that we're living here on this earth is our opportunity to overcome our sins. If he wanted to punish us, I mean, there wouldn't be anybody left if they all got punished every time they committed a sin. So I don't really need to worry about being struck down by lightning, even though what I said wasn't true. I bumped it on a low board at the house that I bought here. There's a scripture in the 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter that I would like to read. And it's in verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I want to stop right there, and I just want to bring out this thought a little bit more. The temptations that you and I face are, I don't believe, even though the situations change a little bit, I believe the same temptations were common to man since the beginning of time. And there's a little different circumstances, but the temptations that it tells us here are common to man, and the same things have been tempting man since the beginning of time. That's the bad news, is that this life has a lot of temptations. But the good news is the rest of this verse. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And that's pretty much what I wanted to emphasize this evening, is the fact that we are going to experience a lot of trials and tribulations in our life. It doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. It doesn't mean God is punishing us. It's just one of those things that is common to mankind. There's another scripture I'd like to read in the 9th chapter of John. And starting with the first verse in the 9th chapter, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So this is a good example, I believe, of convincing us that we are not punished for the mistakes that we make. Our punishment for those mistakes comes at judgment time. That's when there will be no more mercy. That's when there is strictly justice or judgment. I used to think of the examples, you know, we're told in many scriptures that Jesus was our example. The things that he did and the things that he showed us are the things that we're supposed to do and live by. And I, for years, I looked at the things he did, the good things that he did, and I thought, oh, we ought to be doing those things. And I didn't think about some of those other things until just recently. Some of those other things are the persecutions that he went through. Now, I believe there was a reason that he went through all of those persecutions. And that was to show us this life is not fair. It never has been. It never will be. You and I are going to suffer trials, tribulations, persecutions, just like every man has from the beginning of time. They are not going to go away just because you pray for it. I mean, Paul prayed that that thorn in his flesh would be taken away three times. And I believe Paul had a lot of clout. I think he had a lot of pull with God. But yet the Lord saw fit not to heal him of that affliction. And you remember what it says? Paul was made stronger because of that affliction, because he needed to rely on the Lord even more. And that's one of the reasons that you and I have to go through all of these trials and temptations, is because this is our day of probation. How we deal with those things, that's what we're going to have to stand before God at judgment day, and he's going to review how we handled those situations that we came up against throughout our life. And Jesus showed us that this life is not fair. With the things that happened to him were much more unfair than any of us will ever have to experience. I doubt that any of us will be called on to give our lives. When Jesus began his ministry, he began with 40 days of fasting and prayer. Now, I believe there are many times where we mistakenly pray, and then the first thing that comes to our mind, we figure that's from the Lord. But we need to be careful. And the example that I want to give is, look at what happened to Jesus after 40 days of fasting and prayer. What was the first thing that happened to him? He was tempted of the devil. The devil came to him first. And we need to be careful of that. Joseph Smith, he went into the grove to pray, to seek wisdom. What was the first thing that happened? The evil spirit came over him first. And we need to be careful of that. Everything that we receive from the Lord has to go along with what is written in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You know, that brings to mind a scripture that I'd like to bring to you real quick. It's in, I believe it's 2 Peter, that I think is a very important scripture. I was talking to a brother once, and he was telling me something, and he said, well, the Lord revealed this to him. And another brother told me, well, the Lord revealed this to me. And they were different. Now, did the Lord reveal different things to both of these men? I don't think so. But this scripture came to mind. And I believe it is a very important scripture for you and me. 2 Peter, 1 chapter, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This scripture tells me that the things that have been revealed to the prophets of old, the things that are recorded as scripture, if something is given to you from God and it doesn't go along with what's in the books, be careful. It might not be from who you thought it was from. There's another scripture I'd like to read in 2 Timothy. 3 chapter, verse 12. It says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All. Now, one of the thoughts that came to my mind there was, how much persecution have I suffered? So am I living godly enough? How much persecution have you suffered? Are you living godly enough? Perhaps the time will come that our trials and our temptations will be much greater than they are today. I think that's very possible. And we might see that this is very real when we think of that verse. I'd like to back up a little bit and go to the first verse of that chapter. And it talks about this time. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And boy, that's one we're seeing rampant in our society today. How many churches are there in this world who are advocating gay rights without natural affection? I mean, they're classified right in there with the blasphemers and the disobedient. It is not acceptable. It is a sin. It always has been and it always will be. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we see a lot of that also. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it, from such turn away. That is a description of half of the Christian churches that are in our society today. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard ministers stand behind the pulpit of other churches denying the fact that God still works with man today. That they're denying that there are miracles. But we know better. I want to continue. And this is Paul's testimony of the afflictions that he had to endure. In verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And that same promise is for you and for me. There is nothing out there that we're going to face that we can't handle if we allow God to help us. There's many scriptures throughout the Bible and the Book of Mormon that tell us that same thing. But also we know, probably from experience unfortunately, that when you leave the Lord out of it and you try to handle it yourself, you won't bother him on this one. It's not too bad. I'll just deal with it myself. How many times have we made a miserable mess out of it because we didn't include the Lord? I know I'm guilty of that. But I can testify. That just the opposite is true also. How many times I've let the Lord take over. And he's gotten me out of all kinds of trouble. He's given me the wisdom to correct potentially serious problems that I seem to get myself into sometimes. The Lord will deliver us. There's many other scriptures in one in Alma 10, I'm not going to read. And several of them that I found in the Book of Mormon that tell us the same thing about we will not be tempted above that which we can bear as long as we allow the Lord to help us. And I gave a sermon in Phoenix recently. No, I take that back. I had an article in the Hand of Fellowship recently that talked about what the unforgivable sin was as far as my concept of it. And to me, it kind of breaks down one aspect of it anyway. The way I looked at it was, I think you are guilty of the unforgivable sin if you fall, you get knocked down spiritually, and you fail to get back up. You're in big trouble. And that's what I believe God is telling us, that his hand is outstretched for us. When we fall, because we will all fall. When we fall, reach out and ask for the Lord's hand. He will help you back to where you need to be spiritually. He might not help us through all the temporal things that we want, that we think we need, but he will give us the spiritual strength and, I believe, the wisdom, like the prayer of serenity says, you know, the wisdom to know the difference. In the first chapter of Mosiah, verse 119, it tells us that the natural man is an enemy to God. I mean, we're familiar with that. You know, you can say, well, that's the way God made me. Well, you're right. It is. He made you a sinner. And you have to overcome that. You can't rely on, that's the way God made me, so, you know, that's the way I am. If you don't change from that way, you are in big trouble. There's another scripture in the first chapter of Mosiah, in the 49th verse. I should have this memorized because I told a bunch of people there in Kenya that this is the memory verse I want you to remember. And I made them read it and recite it and commit it and told them, when I come back again, I'm going to ask you this memory verse and you better know it. It's the second half of verse 49. When you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. I can remember times in my life when I've dwelt on my problems. Problems that I probably created for myself, but anyway, I had problems in my life, and I was dwelling on them. And I was praying about them. And I can remember very specifically one particular time. I was praying to the Lord about this problem, and the thought came to me. She said, just forget it. Just forget it. And think about somebody else. Think about somebody else's problems. Think about what you can go do for somebody else right now. And I thought about that, and I did it. And it gave me such peace of mind. Just I was able to go and to help somebody else with a temporal problem that they had. But I knew that what I was doing was not dwelling on my own problems, but dwelling on helping someone else. And that, in turn, helped me immensely. And I think the same thing would apply for each one of us. If you want to overcome some of your problems, don't dwell on them. Dwell on helping somebody else. It will help make those problems of your own diminish. Not all of them, but some of them. You know, throughout the scriptures, we can read about, throughout the Book of Mormon and the Bible, just about every disciple of Christ that we read about was had many, many trials in their life. We just read about them time and time again. Those trials will never be taken away. They will never go away. Accept that fact. But know that God is with you to help you deal with those. 11 of the original 12 apostles were killed. One committed suicide, I believe. 11 were killed, and John the Baptist was beheaded. It just, we read about throughout the Book of Mormon how the followers of God lived lives that were hard. And they were never guaranteed an easy life. And if you pray for an easy life, I think it's wrong. You're not supposed to do it. I'm convinced you're not supposed to do it. Rather, you're supposed to pray that God will help you to handle any situation that comes up. Because there's going to be some real trials out there for each one of us, and I think there's more coming. There's another scripture here in 2 Peter that I want to read. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is very long-suffering with us, and he in turn asks us to be like Jesus was, and like each one of those disciples that followed Christ and the writers of the Book of Mormon and of the Bible, they were long-suffering as well. The Lord was long-suffering to them, and they were long-suffering, putting up with the things that they had to put up with in this world. I want to read. I looked up in Vines a book to see what that word long-suffering, I wanted to see what that how it was used. And it says, long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. And He expects that same thing from you and I. I want to close with one thought that is something that you'll find on each one of our pieces of literature from published by our Church of Christ. And we can read it in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Starting with verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, I take that literally. A yoke, as you know, I mean, with oxen pulling in a yoke, they pull together. And that's the reason that I believe He used that word, is because as long as you let Him in your life, let Him be a part of everything that you do, He will be in that yoke with you, or you with Him, and you'll pull together. He reaches out His hand for us, and He says, come. He doesn't get behind us and push. The responsibility lies within each of us. I hope we all, in the days to come, when we suffer persecution for our righteousness, I hope we realize that we don't have to do it alone. We can do it with the Lord's help. Thank you. Oh, hey, Alvin, I forgot one thing.
Sure.
One little story about Kenya. When I was giving them a memory verse, it was right after we were at one of their churches, and a group of young kids came up, and they were from this tall to this tall, and they came up and stood up in front of the church, and they each had a memory verse that they said in English. And they started with the tallest one, and they got down to the littlest one, and the littlest one, he steps up there, and he says, my memory verse is, I think it was John 11:35. Jesus wept. And he stepped back. And that is how I got caught up on that memory verse thing. But I thought it was just such a cute thing. But our brothers and sisters there are very devoted. And they have a love that is every bit as strong for you as your love for them. I know it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll make a few announcements. Dan asked for administration earlier, so I'm going to read his first. It's an email. Some of you have seen it. He says, last Wednesday I received the results of my second needle biopsy, which revealed two small but moderately aggressive cancerous areas of the prostate. This coming Monday I will have a bone scan to assure that there has been no spread of the cancer beyond the prostate. I would ask for your prayers that the test results would be good, and also that my family and I would have peace and comfort knowing that we are in the Lord's loving hands. And of course, we will pray for you, Dan. John Michael is with us. He unfortunately broke his ankle, and he has a cast on it and is learning to use the crutches. So we need to pray for John Michael. Of course, while that's going on, he can't work. So he needs the Lord's help. And we might also continue to remember Edith and Margaret and Laura Chevalier. Remember Bob Oldham. He fell during conference, and he's going to be okay, I think. And the last time I talked to him, he said he thought he would, but he needs your help in getting over that and getting the use of his leg. Joyce? And Bonnie Gale, yes. Those that were administered to this day. Also, we'll add Joyce to that list. Her infection in her foot, I think, is coming along really well, but her doctor wants to operate on her pinky toe, and that's not going to be a lot of fun. Study class, Monday night. Are you going to be in town Monday? No.
I have not.
Oh, you escaped. Okay.
You got me once.
Yeah, I know. You were there once. Monday night is study class at 7 p.m. Tuesday is United Workers potato dinner at Caroline Hedrick's home at 6:30. Wednesday is prayer service. Friday is the junior and senior choir at the Lawrence home, 7 and 8 respectively. This Saturday will be a wedding shower for Emily Smith and Seth Welch. It'll be from 1 to 3:30 p.m. Shower is given by Jennifer Wiley and Megan Welch. They're registered at Target, Jones, Bed Bath & Beyond. And Saturday night, the YPCL will have pizza making. It's a fundraiser. It's at 4 p.m. It'll be at the Lawrence home. And if there are questions or anything, they call Jenny Appholder. Is that right? Okay. Very good. Diana has some good news for you all.
Well, one of the things you mentioned about Bob tonight, I read about the East Local this morning service that Bob wasn't here. My understanding when we all had lunch together that he's gone back out in the field for his job.
Mm-hmm. Great. Congratulations. One more announcement. Almost lost it up here. You're invited to Tabitha's graduation party. That's Tabitha Grimm. The place is...
Thank you, Alan. First things first. Most of you probably know, Karen and I had the opportunity to go to Africa in January of this year. We spent a little over 3 weeks over there. And one of the things that everybody over there requires of us is to give their greetings to their brothers and sisters. So you know the drill. Everybody has to do this because they all do that when they say, give their greetings to our brothers and sisters. Okay, thank you. The next thing, you probably notice, especially when I look down, that I have a little crease across the top of my head there. Well, I just thought I would let you know, so I don't have to explain to everybody how that happened. I was out playing basketball, and I just jumped too high and hit my head on the rims. Watch out for lightning. Actually, that fits in with my sermon. Because you and I both know that there's not going to be any lightning coming down here. God doesn't punish people. He doesn't look for opportunities to punish people when they commit a sin. This life that we're living here on this earth is our opportunity to overcome our sins. If He wanted to punish us, I mean, there wouldn't be anybody left if they all got punished every time they committed a sin. So I don't really need to worry about being struck down by lightning, even though what I said wasn't true. I bumped it on a low board at the house that I bought here. There's a scripture in the 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter that I would like to read. And it's in verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I want to stop right there, and I just want to bring out this thought a little bit more. The temptations that you and I face are, I don't believe, even though the situations change a little bit, I believe the same temptations were common to man since the beginning of time. And there's a little different circumstances, but the temptations that it tells us here are common to man, and the same things have been tempting man since the beginning of time. That's the bad news, is that this life has a lot of temptations. But the good news is the rest of this verse. "But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And that's pretty much what I wanted to emphasize this evening, is the fact that we are going to experience a lot of trials and tribulations in our life. It doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. It doesn't mean God is punishing us. It's just one of those things that is common to mankind. There's another scripture I'd like to read in the 9th chapter of John. And starting with the first verse in the 9th chapter, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So this is a good example, I believe, of convincing us that we are not punished for the mistakes that we make. Our punishment for those mistakes comes at judgment time. That's when there will be no more mercy. That's when there is strictly justice or judgment. I used to think of the examples, you know, we're told in many scriptures that Jesus was our example. The things that he did and the things that he showed us are the things that we're supposed to do and live by. And for years I looked at the things he did, the good things that he did, and I thought, oh, we ought to be doing those things. And I didn't think about some of those other things until just recently. Some of those other things are the persecutions that he went through. Now, I believe there was a reason that he went through all of those persecutions. And that was to show us this life is not fair. It never has been, it never will be. You and I are going to suffer trials, tribulations, persecutions, just like every man has from the beginning of time. They are not going to go away just because you pray for it. I mean, Paul prayed that that thorn in his flesh would be taken away 3 times. And I believe Paul had a lot of clout. I think he had a lot of pull with God. But yet the Lord saw fit not to heal him of that affliction. And you remember what it says? Paul was made stronger because of that affliction, because he needed to rely on the Lord even more. And that's one of the reasons that you and I have to go through all of these trials and temptations, is because this is our day of probation. How we deal with those things, that's what we're going to have to stand before God at judgment day, and he's going to review how we handled those situations that we came up against throughout our life. And Jesus showed us that this life is not fair. Just with the things that happened to him were much more unfair than any of us will ever have to experience. I doubt that any of us will be called on to give our lives. When Jesus began his ministry, he began with 40 days of fasting and prayer. Now, I believe there are many times where we mistakenly pray, and then the first thing that comes to our mind, we figure that's from the Lord. But we need to be careful. And the example that I want to give is, look at what happened to Jesus after 40 days of fasting and prayer. What was the first thing that happened to him? He was tempted of the devil. The devil came to him first. And we need to be careful of that. Joseph Smith, he went into the grove to pray, to seek wisdom. What was the first thing that happened? The evil spirit came over him first. And we need to be careful of that. Everything that we receive from the Lord has to go along with what is written in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You know, that brings to mind a scripture that I'd like to bring to you real quick. It's in, I believe it's 2 Peter, that I think is a very important scripture. I was talking to a brother once, and he was telling me something, and he said, well, the Lord revealed this to him. And another brother told me, well, the Lord revealed this to me. And they were different. Now, did the Lord reveal different things to both of these men? I don't think so. But this scripture came to mind. And I believe it is a very important scripture for you and me. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This scripture tells me that the things that have been revealed to the prophets of old, the things that are recorded as scripture, if something is given to you from God and it doesn't go along with what's in the books, be careful. It might not be from who you thought it was. There's another scripture I'd like to read in 2 Timothy. Third chapter, verse 12. It says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All. Now, one of the thoughts that came to my mind there was, how much persecution have I suffered? So am I living godly enough? How much persecution have you suffered? Are you living godly enough? Perhaps the time will come that our trials and our temptations will be much greater than they are today. I think that's very possible. And we might see that this is very real when we think of that verse. I'd like to back up a little bit and go to the first verse of that chapter. And it talks about this time. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." And boy, that's one we're seeing rampant in our society today. How many churches are there in this world who are advocating gay rights? Without natural affection. I mean, they're classified right in there with the blasphemers and the disobedient. It is not acceptable. It is a sin. It always has been and it always will be. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we see a lot of that also. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it, from such turn away. That is a description of half of the Christian churches that are in our society today. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard ministers stand behind the pulpit of other churches denying the fact that God still works with man today, that they're denying that there are miracles, but we know better. I want to continue, and this is Paul's testimony of the afflictions that he had to endure. In verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." And that same promise is for you and for me. There is nothing out there that we're going to face that we can't handle if we allow God to help us. There's many scriptures throughout the Bible and the Book of Mormon that tell us that same thing. But also, we know, probably from experience, unfortunately, that when you leave the Lord out of it and you try to handle it yourself, you won't bother him on this one. It's not too bad. I'll just deal with it myself. How many times have we made a miserable mess out of it because we didn't include the Lord? I know I'm guilty of that. But I can testify. That just the opposite is true also. How many times I've let the Lord take over, and he's gotten me out of all kinds of trouble. He's given me the wisdom to correct potentially serious problems that I seem to get myself into sometimes. The Lord will deliver us. There's many other scriptures in one in Alma 10. I'm not going to read. And several of them that I found in the Book of Mormon that tell us the same thing about we will not be tempted above that which we can bear, as long as we allow the Lord to help us. You know, I gave a sermon in Phoenix recently. I take that back. I had an article in the Hand of Fellowship recently that talked about what the unforgivable sin was, as far as my concept of it. And to me, it kind of breaks down one aspect of it anyway. The way I looked at it was, I think you are guilty of the unforgivable sin if you fall, you get knocked down spiritually, and you fail to get back up. You're in big trouble. And that's what I believe God is telling us, that his hand is outstretched for us. When we fall, because we will all fall. When we fall, reach out and ask for the Lord's hand. He will help you back to where you need to be spiritually. He might not help us through all the temporal things that we want, that we think we need, but he will give us the spiritual strength and, I believe, the wisdom, like the prayer of serenity says, you know, the wisdom to know the difference. In the first chapter of Mosiah, verse 119, it tells us that the natural man is an enemy to God. I mean, we're familiar with that. You know, you can say, well, that's the way God made me. Well, you're right. It is. He made you a sinner. And you have to overcome that. You can't rely on, that's the way God made me, so, you know, that's the way I am. If you don't change from that way, you are in big trouble. There's another scripture in the first chapter of Mosiah, in the 49th verse. I should have this memorized because I told a bunch of people there in Kenya that this is the memory verse I want you to remember. And I made them read it and recite it and commit it, and told them, when I come back again, I'm going to ask you this memory verse, and you better know it. It's the second half of verse 49. When you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. I can remember times in my life when I've dwelt on my problems. Problems that I probably created for myself, but anyway, I had problems in my life, and I was dwelling on them. And I was praying about them. And I can remember very specifically one particular time. I was praying to the Lord about this problem, and the thought came to me. She said, just forget it. Just forget it. And think about somebody else. Think about somebody else's problems. Think about what you can go do for somebody else right now. And I thought about that, and I did it. And it gave me such peace of mind. Just I was able to go and to help somebody else with a temporal problem that they had. But by I knew that what I was doing was not dwelling on my own problems, but dwelling on helping someone else. And that, in turn, helped me immensely. And I think the same thing would apply for each one of us. If you want to overcome some of your problems, don't dwell on them. Dwell on helping somebody else. It will help make those problems of your own diminish. Not all of them, but some of them. You know, throughout the scriptures, we can read about, I mean, throughout the Book of Mormon and the Bible, just about every disciple of Christ that we read about was had many, many trials in their life. We just read about them time and time again. Those trials will never be taken away. They will never go away. Accept that fact. But know that God is with you to help you deal with those. 11 of the original 12 apostles were killed. I mean, one committed suicide, I believe. 11 were killed, and John the Baptist was beheaded. It just, we read about it throughout the Book of Mormon, how the followers of God lived lives that were hard. And they were never guaranteed an easy life. And if you pray for an easy life, I think it's wrong. You're not supposed to do it. I'm convinced you're not supposed to do it. Rather, you're supposed to pray that God will help you to handle any situation that comes up. Because there's going to be some real trials out there for each one of us, and I think there's more coming. There's another scripture here in 2 Peter that I want to read. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is very long-suffering with us, and he in turn asks us to be like Jesus was, and like each one of those disciples that followed Christ and the writers of the Book of Mormon and of the Bible, they were long-suffering as well. The Lord was long-suffering to them, and they were long-suffering, putting up with the things that they had to put up with in this world. I want to read... I looked up in Vines a book to see what that word long-suffering, I wanted to see what that, how it was used. And it says, long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. And he expects that same thing from you and I. I want to close with one thought that is something that you'll find on each one of our pieces of literature from published by our Church of Christ. And we can read it in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Starting with verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, I take that literally. A yoke, as you know, I mean, with oxen pulling in a yoke, they pull together. And that's the reason that I believe he used that word, is because as long as you let him in your life, let him be a part of everything that you do, he will be in that yoke with you, or you with him, and you'll pull together. He reaches out his hand for us, and he says, come. He doesn't get behind us and push. The responsibility lies within each of us. I hope we all, in the days to come, when we suffer persecution for our righteousness, I hope we realize that we don't have to do it alone. We can do it with the Lord's help. Thank you. Oh, Amy, Alvin, I forgot one thing.
Shoot.
One little story about Kenya. When I was giving them a memory verse, it was right after we were at one of their churches, and a group of young kids came up, and they were from this tall to this tall, and they came up and stood up in front of the church, and they each had a memory verse that they said in English. And they started with the tallest one, and they got down to the littlest one, and the littlest one, he steps up there, and he says, my memory verse is, I think it was John 11:35. Jesus wept. And he stepped back. And that is how I got caught up on that memory verse thing. But I thought it was just such a cute thing. But our brothers and sisters there are very devoted. And they have a love that is every bit as strong for you as your love for them. I know it is.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll make a few announcements. Dan asked for administration earlier, so I'm going to read his first. It's an email. Some of you have seen it. He says, last Wednesday I received the results of my second needle biopsy, which revealed two small but moderately aggressive cancerous areas of the prostate. This coming Monday I will have a bone scan to assure that there has been no spread of the cancer beyond the prostate. I would ask for your prayers that the test results would be good, and also that my family and I would have peace and comfort knowing that we are in the Lord's loving hands. And of course we will pray for you, Dan. John Michael is with us. He unfortunately broke his ankle, and he has a cast on it. and is learning to use the crutches. So we need to pray for John Michael. Of course, while that's going on, he can't work. So he needs the Lord's help. And we might also continue to remember Edith and Margaret and Laura Chevalier. Remember Bob Oldham. He fell during conference, and he's going to be okay, I think. And the last time I talked to him, he said he thought he would, but he needs your help in getting over that and getting the use of his leg. Joyce? And Bonnie Gale, yes. And those that were administered to this day. Also, we'll add Joyce to that list. Her infection in her foot, I think, is coming along really well, but her doctor wants to operate on her pinky toe. And that's not going to be a lot of fun. Study class, Monday night. Are you going to be in town Monday? No.
I have not.
Oh, you escaped. Okay.
You got me once.
Yeah, I know. You were there once. Monday night is study class at 7 p.m. Tuesday is United Workers potato dinner at Caroline Hedrick's home at 6:30. Wednesday is prayer service. Friday is the junior and senior choir at the Lawrence home, 7 and 8 respectively. This Saturday will be a wedding shower for Emily Smith and Seth Welch. It'll be from 1 to 3:30 p.m. Shower is given by Jennifer Wiley and Megan Welch. They're registered at Target, Jones, Bed Bath & Beyond. And Saturday night, the YPCL will have pizza making. It's a fundraiser. It's at 4 p.m. It'll be at the Lawrence home. And if there are questions or anything, they call Jenny F. Holder. Is that right? Okay. Very good. And Diana has some good news for you all.
Well, one of the things you mentioned about Bob tonight, I was at the East Local this morning to serve as staff, so I wasn't there. My understanding when we all had lunch together that he's done back out in the field for his job.
Mm-hmm. Great. Congratulations. One more announcement. Almost lost it up here. You're invited to Tabitha's graduation party. That's Tabitha Grimm. The place is